Those Two Girls Catch Up.
Midweek hump day. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh my God.
Full of energy.
He really is full of beans.
Full of beans.
All right, guys, we've got a great show for you. Sarah thinks she's famous.
She's not.
She's
had something in her hair.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, ruined the punchline. Don't even listen now. Actually, I can tell you everything that happened in the show. There were some things put on the floor. There was a cake and a guy called Bob.
Here it is.
Those Two Girls.
Good morning.
Happy hump day. No camel news today, but I'm going to tell you that I took my 10-year-old son, Remy, shopping. And...
You're right. You're with us.
Well, it was a lot. It was a lot because I do not take my boys to large sort of Westfield-y type shopping centres.
No, you never have actually. Even when I'd take the girls out and I'd be like, do you want to join us? And
no,
you would say absolutely not.
No.
So that still goes now even though Remy's nearly 10.
Well, I thought I'd change it and I thought he needed a few things for upcoming events. He's grown so much, Sarah. He needs new shoes, new blazers. I can't handle it. And I said, why don't you come with me? It'll be a nice mother-son time and we'll try it. You've never been out to the shops before. And it was interesting, to say the least. I'm going to play you a little bit of audio that he sent his father at one point. He texted his dad with voice. That's technology, I think. What's it called? A voice message? Yeah, voice memo. Take a listen.
Mum made me go into 75,000 shops and now I'm finally relaxing so we get to go home.
Yeah.
Amen.
That was a post-shopping trip. He was not impressed because we had a list. You know when you've got a list of stuff to get through?
Yeah.
And I don't think he understands how quickly I operate. So we were like, we've got to go to Target, we've got to do this, we've got to get a birthday present for this person, you've got to get new shoes.
You're not a relaxing shopper. In fact, I sent Dane the same message when we last went shopping.
But my favourite part was when we walked into David Jones, okay? And he looked a little confused and baffled. And he said, since when have they started selling clothes? And I said,
what?
What do you mean? I said, David Jones is an established, you know, department store. What do you mean? He was like, oh, I thought they only sold wine and beer. Mm. He got it mixed up with Dan Murphy's, you see, which is also another male name.
That also says a lot about your parenting, doesn't it?
A place that we frequent more frequently than David Jones.
I had an awkward encounter. So much so I want to punch myself in the face when I tell it to you. So on the weekend, I went with my sister out to dinner. And after we'd had dinner, we'd had a great time. My two girls were with me. And there's a Ferris wheel near the restaurant. So we decided to go and have a ride on the Ferris wheel because I happened to have a media pass that got me on for free.
Ooh.
Right. Okay. What a show.
Did it have a lanyard? It was Saturday night. It was busy. There were lots of tourists. There was a real crowd of people. Yeah, it did have a lanyard. I had it around my neck. I was wearing it very proudly.
How sad.
How sad.
No, it was a really nice photo. So we lined up. And we had, you know, when on a Ferris wheel, you have to wait for the other people in the cars to have their turn and then get off. So you can wait quite a while to get on and see the beautiful lights of the city. And behind us, there were other people who were joining along. And as the line snaked around, I suddenly felt a tap on my shoulder.
Uh-oh.
And I heard a man's voice who said, excuse me. And I thought, here we go. Oh, this is great. He's going to say, are you Sarah from Those Two Girls? And it's going to be in front of my sister. And this will be
an amazing validation I've been seeking
moment.
My entire 38
and
years.
And I turned around and I sort of whipped my shoulder in such a way that my lanyard with media pass flew in the direction. I said, yes. And he goes, oh, you've got something in your hair. Do you mind if I just get that out? And he reached into my hair, this complete stranger, reached into my hair and reefed out a piece of paper. I don't think it was that necessary for human touch.
Sarah, I'm worried.
So then
Do you know what that sounds like?
A nice guy trying to help?
No, it sounds like a celebrity stalker who just wants to take a piece of your hair, Sarah, and put it up on his whiteboard, like his bulletin board, you know, when they cut out all the whip and take your eyes out.
Well, it's funny because I did turn around and my sister looked at me with like, oh, you loser. I said, obviously he's a fan who wanted to touch me.
Sarah, be careful.
Talk about the loser.
We need.
Don't freak me out. You know how anti information I am.
We need a security detail on her stash. She's got a stalker.
Mm-hmm. I can't wear my media pass out and about. People know now.
You shouldn't anyway. It's a
also,
bit sad.
I should stop putting paper in my hair to encourage people to touch me.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
A lovely story out of Brisbane that really captured my attention, Sarah, over the weekend. Do you know what the Gabba is?
Yes, it's the big playing ground for the AFL there.
Yeah, and that's cricket. Right. And cricket. Yeah, yeah, it's a big stadium in the heart of Brisbane's CBD, I suppose. And over the weekend, there was a massive game. What's your problem, Aaron?
Tell us more about the geography of football stadiums around the country.
Also, they're very rarely in a CBD, but okay.
Whatever. Okay, well, I don't know specifically where it is.
Like, have you been to Brisbane? Do you know Brisbane?
What is this Brisbane River?
Guys, just let me tell the beautiful story of Sandra.
Please.
So over the weekend, there was a massive AFL game, okay? Brisbane Lions v Geelong Cats. Mm-hmm. And it was a very big game because this was a chance for Brisbane Lions to become the minor premiers. Mm. I know, Sarah.
It was 1v2,
I don't know
it was
what any of that means, but I understand it was
well,
a big game.
It's a big deal. It's a big game. It's a big game. And a story came to light this week of a beautiful couple who had been married for many, many years. And sadly, the gentleman passed away in December last year of cancer. Mm-hmm. Now, he and his wife had time to prepare for his passing. Mm-hmm. And he had said to her, I want to be cremated. And you know what? Just spread my ashes out over the ocean, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then she had said to him, I don't think the ocean's a fitting place for you. You're a mad footy fan. He was a devoted Lions fan. And she suggested, what if I spread your ashes on the Gabba ground? And he was like, pretty sure that's illegal. How would you do that? And she was like, I promise you, I will find a way. And her husband passed away and she had this challenge ahead of her. Now, it is illegal to do such thing. You can't just go there with your urn and dump it on the middle of the field. So across the course of the entire footy season, Sandra has been taking a pocket full of her husband's ashes. And during the kick to kick, which is a time at the end of the game where people can go out onto the field at the Gabba and have a little walk around. It's quite a fun thing to, for fans to do. During that time, she would go down and very discreetly sprinkle a handful of his ashes on the ground because she said, I promised him I would do that. Now, the Lions have turned the season around. They are now minor premiers and she reckons it's all because of her husband's ashes being on the hallowed grounds of the Gabba. Isn't that beautiful?
I mean, I think that's nice.
I think a promise is a promise and he was...
I don't know if this story was meant to get out, though, was it? Because
no,
now
because
I fear
started...
that everyone's going to be rushing to their AFL grounds and all the players will be playing coughing in ashes of...
Well, the funny thing is, and, you know, she says it herself here, but she said she was surprised at how much ash her husband produced when he was cremated. So she said it surprised even her that it's taken her the entire season.
But have you thought about, like, if you want to be cremated, where would you want your ashes scattered?
I don't like to think of those things. So, no, I haven't given. Have you?
Well, I've certainly said to my family, if anything happens to me, under no circumstances are you to spread my ashes over a body of water or I will come back and haunt you.
Why? Because you're really quite fearful of the water, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I don't like the ocean or any lakes.
Noted.
Or dams, actually. And just anything where there's like, where I can't touch the bottom. There could be eels and seaweed and crocs. Like, no. Just
so no water for
take
you.
Take me to a Westfield and scatter me there.
Oh, wow. Past witchery.
High Street. Ooh, here she comes. You know how some couples, when they get married, keep the top tier of their wedding cake and freeze it to have later?
Yes, I've never quite understood that tradition.
Well, I think it's a really old fashioned thing. I think people do it now these days. Wedding cakes cost too bloody much. People want to eat it.
Yes.
Well, there's a couple who've been married for 50 years and their wedding cake was so big that they've frozen it and they eat it every year on their wedding anniversary.
Aww.
It's still going strong 50 years later. They've still got some left.
Who has that level of freezer space?
No.
for 5 decades.
I don't know. That, I mean, obviously, they're probably not having great big slabs each, but they're having a little sliver.
I mean, that's very romantic and lovely, but it would taste like shit.
Taste terrible.
It would just be ice at that stage, wouldn't it?
It wouldn't be
ice
great.
With a bit of crusty icing
and
on
you
the
know,
top.
Back in that day, it would have been that really dense fruit cake with the really thick white marzipan icing that nobody likes.
Yeah. Well, they're in their 70s now.
But the gesture's
still
lovely.
Yeah. Well, that fruitcake would be keeping them regular, no doubt. It's been in the fridge
but
that
imagine
long.
If, like, one of their kids or grandkids were just like, oh, yeah, awesome cake, oh, and cake. Ate it.
I don't actually understand how people can keep delicious things in the fridge for so long, let alone 50 years. I mean, if I'm someone where if there is a block of chocolate in the house,
it's gone
within 24 hours.
But people do savour things for a special occasion.
50 years.
My dad actually had...
Of course.
Heartbreaking, guys.
Of course, there's Elise's dad's
a
story.
Heartbreaking tale. Now, my dad, Jacques, the Frenchman, had a beautiful, beautiful bottle of Bourgogne.
What's that?
It's a red wine, Sarah. It's Burgundy wine. You've heard of Burgundy?
I think you pronounce Yellow Glen wrong.
you've heard of Burgundy, right? It's a type of, it's a region in France
yes.
that produces a particular type of grape which makes a Bourgogne wine or Burgundy wine. And Dad had kept this bottle for many, many, many years and he wanted to open it for the wedding of my older sister. Okay,
nice.
So kept it for, I reckon, 20 years. Now, there's certain types of wine that you can keep for that long, and obviously they increase in value.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to store them out of direct sunlight. You've got to do particular things. Dad had this little spot in the pantry that was perfect, horizontal,
dark.
Doesn't
sound that particular, but okay.
No. Listen, you don't know me. You don't know my pantry at home, okay? This was a particular segment that nobody went to, Sarah. It was dark and it was horizontal and that's what you need for Bourgogne, whatever. Anyway.
Tell me more about your Bourgogne.
How dare you call it Bourgogne? Anyway, fast forward to Mum and Dad having some friends of theirs over for a dinner party. Now, these particular friends of theirs did not know wine. Mm. They were never good. You know, some people will drink anything, like me, okay? These people would often bring a bottle of wine over, and it was just a cheap bottle, and they didn't have the palate to discern a cheap bottle of wine for an expensive bottle.
Mm-hmm.
So they bought these bottles.
Sacre bleu,
yeah.
I say.
They bought this bottle of wine when they came to the dinner party. Now, Dad, Mum, made the fatal mistake. Made the fatal mistake of placing the cheap bottle of wine beside the wedding bottle of Bourgogne.
Oh, no.
And as the evening progressed, Dad accidentally took...
Oh, la la.
The expensive bottle, which was opened and consumed by the non-wine connoisseurs who didn't even appreciate the taste, and it was too late. By then it was opened and Dad had to watch them drink it, realizing it was his eldest daughter's wedding bottle.
Sacre bleu!
And then my sister just got a box of goon for her wedding.
Did the guest say, petit miam, it's French for yum.
Whatever, you know, you can make fun of my heritage. I'm going to, like, it's wrong. It's wrong.
Cool.
It's wrong. That's all.
And
that's all. Like, you know what? This radio show would struggle without my bloody French accent.
Oh, don't worry. So. We know.
I reckon it struggles
what
with
would
it.
You do? What would you do without... my cultural French anecdotes. You know what? Nothing much. I'll tell you.
You know what?
Much.
I've got a lot of Bundaberg stories. Those two
girls. Guys, have you ever had a job where you did nothing for years and nobody found out?
Yeah, well, how long have we been in this slot for?
Two years now?
2 years.
I feel like I'm asking the wrong person because Sarah is one of those people. But get your heads around this. There's a man named Bob who is, like, literally going down in the annals of history as the
smart... I know what it means, but I'm always uncomfortable
when you say... We don't need that word.
When you say the A word.
Listen to this. There's a steel company somewhere in the world.
Oh, we don't know where?
Not specifically. Hold
she
on, let me
hasn't read
check.
Down the article that far yet.
I have. It's just not important, okay? It's a steel company. And there used to be a guy with a clipboard and a pen who would just walk around the stock area checking boxes, labels, pallets. Everybody knew him by the name of Bob. And Bob was always around and everybody liked him and all the managers knew him. He'd been with the company for 15 years, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
One day a task crossed the manager's desk and all the managers gathered around and said, who should we give this important task to? Who can actually execute? Someone said, you know what? Bob's the guy. Okay, he's just always here. Everybody knows him. He can do it. So the manager was like, righto, okay, so which one of you lot does he work for specifically? The direct line. Who's Bob's manager? And all the managers in the room didn't know. So then they took it up to HR and were like, who the hell is Bob? Turns out that Bob had actually been made, not redundant, but there was a reshuffle of the company structure back in his third year of working at the steel company. And Bob got lost in the reshuffle and was never reassigned to a particular managerial line. So he just thought, I'm going to see how long I can just like traipse around the joint until someone pulls me up. He ended up working there, as I said, 15 years collecting paychecks with no assigned role. He was eventually let go, Sarah. Oh.
Yeah.
But he got a mighty severance package because he'd made it to 15 years.
Yeah, how did he get a redundancy package when he'd essentially been
because
paid
it was
for
the
doing
company's,
nothing?
It was the company's fault. They were just like,
wow.
He kept busy. Heads down, bum up, and got through 15 years of doing jack all.
Happy days. Bob's your uncle.
You've been waiting for that all break.
Yeah, I was. I was like, when can I put this
not
in?
Not my uncle. Is it your uncle?
What's your uncle's name? Jean-Paul Gaultier.
No, it's Jean-Philippe.
Okay, so close. So close.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
That was the show. Thank you for sticking around, everyone.
Great. Well,
I've got to go out and get a few things. Going to wear my media pass just in case.
Sarah,
just in case you have something in your hair.
Yep. Put some more paper in, Liz.
You know, here's something I actually hate about our workplace.
What?
We don't get ID cards. I would love an ID card
for
the building.
Yeah, that is weird, isn't it? Well, we do. Well, we get
well,
an access pass.
They're not. I don't think they give you them so that if you lose your ID card, people can't get access to the building.
Well, the guys below us have ID cards. Have you noticed?
Yeah, but they don't work for radio.
Who cares? I'd want to break into the engineering building.
No, it's different in media. People think they can take control of the microphones. Like, look at Liz and me.
So true. I would love if you wanted you to come around and just see if you could just make radio happen.
No, I couldn't.
Your side of the desk.
Yeah, come. One of you come
over
right now.
No, I'm scared that we'll take the whole network off.
One of you come over right now.
I actually don't even know.
I don't even know how you
works.
Do your job, Aaron. I would be lost. I would be just
I don't even
in
know the difference between AM and FM.
Just click. Well, one of them's amplitude one of
what?
Oh.
What did you press?
That was music.
Yeah, no. What is that on a screen or something or is it its own button?
No, stop that.
Stop it.
Do something else. Oh, that's your phone ring. Why is Sarah's ringtone in there? Oh, the vomit sound effect.
These are a lot of
our planet is dying. Like, take your paper.
Okay, hang on. We know you're a massive greenie at the moment.
Laugh it up, but I suggest none of you have children because they will not be able to have children. We'll all be dead. Okay? There you go. No insects, no bees, no bloody orangutans, nothing.
There's
no
just
green.
So many things you could say TTG Lees.
No insects, no bees, no bloody orangutans, okay. Nothing.
Nothing.
No, go again.
Excuse me.
Oh. Oh, my God.
We'll all be dead, okay?
That's for We Like to
Excuse
Movie
me.
Movie.
Oh, hi. I'm looking for a birthday gift
for my
best friend.
That's a movie,
Excuse
Sarah.
Me.
Oh,
hi. I'm looking for a birthday gift for my best friend.
That one twice.
Okay, yeah, but this is just playing sound effects. This isn't making radio happen.
Oh, well, this is it's a whole separate thing.
Oh, hang on.
This is very uncompelling, so we might just leave it there.
It really is, Aaron. Yeah, that was a terrible idea.
I don't know how you do your job. You're like Bob.
I am like Bob.
No, Aaron does a
all
lot
right,
more than
go
Bob.
For a run. This peach doesn't maintain itself.
The peacho. Oh, that was yesterday.
But you know
no,
what?
It's forever now.
Liz reckons she's making O things happen.
I will.
Well, don't say O things. This is like,
oh, yes, Sarah.
This is like the public toilets all over again.
put the porn music on.
Oh. Where was that?
Whatever.
Nope.
All right, bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Tickety-boo, off she goes home. That's it for today's Those Two Girls catch-up. But you can score even more catch-ups just like this one. Download the Hit app and keep up with the girls on Facebook and Instagram.